It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading with the 14th, with the first verse of chapter 14. So please, that you would open your Bibles and could follow along today with this study. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 is where we're going to begin. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That would be parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies in the precious Word. We have the Sunday messages. We have the Bible studies. We have the plan of salvation, the Constitution, all those things are present there for you to have and to use as you would like. And also, if you would like to email us, you could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either would be just fine. Now we'll begin with the reading of God's precious Word, Romans chapter 14, beginning to read with verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We're going to end with the 8th verse there of the reading and begin with the word of prayer before we start the study today. Father, thank you that we can come together and use this precious airways to take your gospel, your precious word out to all that will listen. And so please, dear Lord, we ask that the ears will listen today, and to listen, to hear, to actually hear means to take it in, to understand it. And in order, Father, for us to do that, of course, we must have the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, to control our hearts and our lives, and bring us to you closer each and every day. And of course, first it begins with salvation. We must be born again. We must come by faith to you and to your Son, the Lord Jesus, that died on the cross for us. We need to recognize that he died for my sins. He rose again. I have not only a victory over sin and the flesh, but also I have life because, Father, your Son rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of your throne right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you that he makes intercession for me. Thank you for all the work and the blessings that you pour out upon each one of us that are children of God. To be a child of God, Father, we know you must be born again. Now, please, just guide and lead us through this, as there seems to be some problems, Father, in the church here, and we know that takes place today. And so let's take your word, Father, and see if we can help the brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. As we look at this precious word, we recognize that there are some problems, there are some issues that Paul is confronting here, taking care of here, and we need to recognize that maybe in a little different way, maybe we're not so concerned today about the meat of idols and things like that as they were at this time. It wasn't so prevalent, but at the same time, there are many things that cause the strong and the weak in the Lord to stumble. And a lot of times it's stumbling over each other because of some stand that we make, and we are so positive about it that we force our understanding about those things. And the Lord, through Paul here, helps us to clarify that. And so I think we're going to have a good time with this study, and I know every time I open the precious word, I learn something, and I hope that all that are listening today, that you'll come out of this with a greater understanding of how we should live each day as a believer. This is concerning the believer. This is those that are born again. Not that you just call yourself a Christian or you just go to church. You need to be born again. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him by faith. You call upon Him once, the Spirit of God, He comes into your heart and lives eternally, never to be separated again. What a promise. The precious word is so clear about that. So please, come by faith to Jesus today and begin this walk. Even though we have been born again, there still are some problems, and it's always the old flesh that causes those problems. So let's take a look at this. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. The doubtful disputations. You look up doubtful, it's to dispute or to doubt. Disputations is discernment and judge. So as we look at these things now, we need to understand, we need to recognize that the weakness of a brother, and many times a person that is just born again, sometimes it's folks that have been saved for a long time, but they have been locked into the bondage of many things. Many times it's possibly dress, or sometimes it's activities. And we need to recognize that many times there is nothing wrong with either of those things, but because maybe we've been taught as a child or been brought up maybe in a church that was really bound by the law, that we lack that freedom. And so we need to recognize the weakness of a brother, but we need to receive him because he is a brother. Now, to recognize that weakness, to understand, we need to be careful that we do not act in a holier-than-thou attitude. And many times I have seen folks that have been saved for a long time, they act like they're strong, they act like they're mature, but they're really not, because they have kind of a prideful attitude. And this is the way it is, and I am more mature than you, and I've been saved for longer than you, and I'm the deacon of this church, or I'm the pastor of this church, and so I know exactly what, I'm the senior in the church here, I know that this is right and what you're doing is wrong. Well, many times, things that are carried out, there isn't anything wrong with them. It's just that you have made the decision as a weak brother, someone that you said, "I'm not weak." Let's just kind of talk about this a little bit. Let's realize that the brother, the sister that has grown, that is strong, we need to realize that when a weak brother makes a decision, and the decision that they're talking about here as an example, maybe this will help you a little bit. One believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Now, so to bring it into our day, one of them is eating meat and the other is a vegetarian. Now, there's a reason for that in this, because at this time, there were many false gods, and they would bring the offering and the sacrifice. You see, the Jews were common to bring their offering and their sacrifice unto the temple, unto God, and they would offer a bullock, a calf, or all the way down to a dove, depending on how wealthy what you possessed. Well, this carried beyond what God had set up for the Jews. This was just for the Jews or for the proselytes, those that converted to Judaism, as in the Old Testament you were to do. You were to bring these offerings. They represented something. They representing the cross of Calvary. They represented the salvation. They represented the Lord Jesus Christ as you would bring in those offerings. Well, the cults and the false religions, they picked up on that. And so they would bring their offerings and sacrifices unto their idols, unto their gods. Well, their priests, false priests, they would eat as much as they could. But of course, their god, their statue, their stone, their wood, they're made of those kinds of things. The moon, I mean, it's hard to tell what god that they were bowing down to. And so, as they would bring their offerings and their sacrifices unto those gods, those that were taking care of the sacrifices, they could only eat so much. And so, this meat then would be sold. Sometimes it would just be taken down to the local market. And then that local market, it was good meat. Most of the time it was excellent meat because it was the best that they had. You know, cults do that sometimes better than Christians do in giving their best. We realize we're in a day of grace, and sometimes we get a little lax in giving our best. Many times with these false gods, they would bring their best. And so here would come all this meat, and this meat then would go into the stores and the meat markets. And sometimes it was kind of sold out the back door of the cult, of the religion, or many times it was just taken and sold to the meat market. They made a little money off of that meat, and then to support their habits of the cult, and then also then the meat market man would make something. And the problem is, you wouldn't know whether it was of the sacrificed meat from some of the false gods that they had been offered to, or whether it was meat that just some farmer brought in. And so the weak believer, knowing not whether it was sacrificed meat or not, they wouldn't buy it, so they became vegetarian. You know, we can't eat this meat from this false god, because, I mean, what would we think? What would people think? Well, the mature believer, the strong believer, the one that had grown, realized there was nothing to it. It's good meat. It's good meat, so there's nothing to it. So the strong would come into the meat market. They didn't care whether it was offered to some sacrifice or not, because it meant nothing, because there is one God. And so they had this problem. So we are to understand. So when we look at these things, and trying to kind of bring this together a little bit, it says here in verse 3, it says, "Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." So you see, as we are looking at these scripture verses here, Paul is trying to deal with the problem, because I believe the strong brother, they were coming in and going and buying that meat, which there was nothing wrong with that whatsoever. They were enjoying it. It was good meat. Everything was great. Probably got it even for a reasonable price. And so that was taken care of. But then this weak brother, then he looked at the strong brother and says, what do you mean you're buying sacrifice meat? Or maybe you are, maybe you aren't, but can we risk it? Well, the strong brother says, you know, it doesn't matter. But the weak brother, not realizing the liberty that we have as a believer, and there's many things today that it's the same. People say, boy, I wouldn't do that. And another says, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, but look at it. It just seems like maybe it just isn't right. Well, it's the weaker brother that's making that statement, and you're telling me, you said, well, I'm no weak brother. I'm a born-again, strong believer. I've been saved many years, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. Well, we're talking here about things that don't matter. Many things do matter, but this doesn't. The things that we're talking about here, and there's a lot of little things that divide churches, divide people, and there is no bearing to it. And Paul is trying to deal with that here because I think he had the same problem here. He had some people say, you know, you can't do that. And other people say, oh, you can't do this. Now, examples many times is dress, different things that people wear. Sometimes it's things that people eat. Sometimes as it gets on into the scripture here, we get into days. Some days, you know, some think that we must worship on Saturday. We're forced to, we must worship on Saturday. It's a day of rest. Well, you look back to the Levitical law, the law of the Jews, you'll find out that it was a day of rest. It wasn't a day of going to church. It wasn't a day to go listen to the preacher preach. It was a day of rest, and you were to take your family, and you were to learn the Word of God, enjoy, meditate through the day. That was the purpose of that seventh day, Saturday. Many people think that today the Sabbath has become Sunday. It is not. The Sabbath is Saturday. We are not under the law. We are under liberty. I've received letters saying that because we don't worship on Saturday, there is no question that I and all the people that I have taught are going to hell because of it. Now, they're bound by the law. If they would study the Word of God, they would recognize the freedom that we have. We are not under the law any longer. Every day is a holy day. It is a wonderful day that the Lord has made, and we need to praise Him and honor Him. There is nothing special about a day. Now, we do come together on Sunday. It's the first day of the week. We are to give our best and our first unto the Lord. So it is something that is nice, it's right, but we are not bound by the law to do that. But it's what we enjoy. It's a freedom we have. But I do not have to worship on a given day. The Scripture carries that, as we've talked about earlier. Let's back up here just a little bit. We've got some verses of Scripture that I want to show you, because there's a freedom here, a liberty here, that many believers do not enjoy. They discern this, and they look at this, and they're bound by this. And we need to see that we have this liberty. And as it says here concerning those that eateth, despise him that eateth not, let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. And so we're not to judge each other. If you choose to be a vegetarian because you see something there, I will pray for you that you will have the victory. But because I do, you're not to condemn me either. And that's what that scripture is telling us there. Let's go to Galatians. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So you see, if someone is doing something that is a problem, a fault, we are then still not to judge and condemn, you know, not to be gossips about it, and that happens many times, and that does nothing but destroy that individual and maybe others involved with it. And it's so important that we look unto the Lord Jesus Christ for his power and his strength and his wisdom, and then we step out to help a brother. Now, sometimes it's a matter of just praying for them that they will return. Sometimes it's a matter of speaking to them, but each time it is done out of love, not out of a heart of condemnation and criticism or judgment, but it's out of love because we want to destroy them. Now, when we look at this verse of Scripture here, clear, all the way back to verse 1, but not to doubtful disputations, not to doubtful disputations, not to be disputed with about his beliefs, not to judge his doubtful thoughts. Just because he is weak, and just because he doesn't understand that I have the freedom to do it, we need to see that we do not step in and condemn the weak because they don't see it. But Paul also says then, the question is raised and discussed, and we're going to look up some of those verses of Scripture shortly in 1 Corinthians 8. Should a Christian eat meat offered to idols? That's what we talked about. Was it or not offered to false gods? That was their question. Mature Christians didn't care, eat all things. But the weak Christian couldn't quite understand that. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians. Hope you have enough time to get there. I'm turning there myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Now, let's go on down to verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of idols unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. In other words, we're back to that weak brother. The strong brother recognizes that there is nothing there, as I read back in verse 4, concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. So you see, if the idol is nothing, but the weaker brother had a problem with it, because he thought, well, you know, he says, this man's been saved for a long time. He tells me that there's nothing to it, and yet that's what he buys all the time. So there must be something about that he thinks has power and has strength. There must be something there. You see, that's what he's looking at, the weak brother. The strong brother knows there isn't anything there, and the Scripture here confirms that. And so this knowledge of liberty, that's what is important, the knowledge of liberty. So, again, for these people to be completely safe, they just turn to be vegetarians. And yet we have the freedom to eat everything, and everything is set for us in moderation. You know, some, they are, boy, I can't imagine you eat this or you eat that. And, you know, God has given us all things. And I believe we need those things for our physical feeding. And so, but but many look at it and they become vegetarians. And if you do, then it is not my place to condemn or to criticize. It is our purpose to help you to grow and to see that there is no problem. If you want to stay and stay away from this idle prepared meat, if you want to stay away from that, okay, that's fine. You're missing a blessing because it's very good meat. There's nothing wrong with it. And now back again to verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth. Let not the strong force their opposition on the weak. Let not the weak force their opposition or their opinion on the strong. This applies, again, to an awful lot of things. The strong, God hath received him. And so at the very end of this third verse, is confirmation that God's received the strong. Those that see no problem with it, God receives them. God understands them. It's okay. And then it goes on, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or fall. Yea, he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This fourth verse here, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? This clearly begins to deal with the weak. Now the problem is, the weak do not realize they're weak. And they will give their opinion. And they will give it with great force. Because you see, the strong believer, the mature believer, the grown believer, will come with love and with kindness and speak with soft words. But the young believer, the weak believer, they will come and, I read this and that's exactly the way it is and that's what we have to do. You see the difference in the tone? One is done out of love and the other is done out of demand. And so we need to recognize that Paul here is making it very clear that all weak brothers should not judge. You got no right to judge. The man who has confidence to eat meat is the Lord's servant, not the weak brother. And so understand that he stands or falls to his own, the scripture says, and that is to the Lord Jesus Christ. So who is my master? My master is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I answer to. You answer to the same as a weak brother or as a strong brother. You answer to the same. So don't become my master by you demanding me to do this or to do that. And I should be the same. My desire should be that you can continue to grow to where you feel and see and know the freedom, the joy that we have as a believer. We are not bound by the law. We have a great freedom to live each and every day. And the things are too numerous to list today, all the things that become a stumbling block to folks. Sometimes the strong, and the scripture's very clear here, that the strong should not force their opinion upon the weak, and the weak should not force their opinion. Now, the strong, they should always understand this. The weak, those that are young in the faith, and maybe I'm speaking to you, because the more that you grow, then the kinder your words will be. You will be there with love to help a brother. You're not going to jump in and say, this is a problem here. We're not going to buy this meat because this meat was offered to idols and we can't do that. Well, again, this is the example that we have here in the scripture, but there are many things today that are the same. and we jump into that position of judgment, and we judge, and we condemn, and we murmur, we gossip all about those things, and we shouldn't. And that's the difference between a strong, a mature Christian, and a baby Christian, a young, weak Christian. And so we need to help. We need to speak each day, building up. And so, you know, my dear friend, it all begins with Jesus. So what are you going to do about Jesus?